Oh, very good. Okay. Well, it's a special day today in the Diocese of Virginia. Our bishop has asked us to remember Jonathan Merrick Daniels. And so we are doing that today and with a couple of things. One, of course, is the Song of Mary and the Gospel today. With that, that's appointed for today to commemorate his life. And Jonathan Daniels was a young man, died as a young man. He was born in New Hampshire. He went to VMI, actually, and graduated valedictorian in his class. And from there, he felt a call to ordination and went to what was in those days Episcopal Theological School. Today, it's Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And there, he was really, I would say, grasped. His soul was grasped by the civil rights movement and what Dr. King did at that time during those days. And he, as a seminarian with many others, went to the South on various trips for protests and demonstrations and solidarity and these sorts of things. And on one particular trip, he was arrested. He went, he was arrested with a group of people and put in prison for a few nights, was released, and that group was on its way to a convenience store when several police officers confronted them and shots were fired. And Jonathan Daniels saw that a young woman was in the line of fire, and he just dove and pushed her out of the way. And the bullet struck him. This young woman was 17, and he was maybe 24 at the time. And another shot was fired, and a Roman Catholic priest was struck by that bullet, but survived, did not die, but Jonathan Daniels did. Later, Dr. King said, you know, very soon after that, Dr. King said that one of the most heroic actions I have seen in my career in civil rights was done by Jonathan Merrick Daniels. And it was that particular one. So in 1994, a few years after that, our General Convention of the Episcopal Church designated August 14th to be the day of his commemoration, which was the day of his arrest on that and during that particular time. Our bishop asked us to remember it this summer on August 16th, because that's the Sunday closest to August 14th. And a lot of times you do that, especially if you're a bishop. You just say, well, we'll do it now. That's one of the things that we're doing today is remembering his life and what it means to us. And there's a great deal that it can mean to us on many different levels. And, you know, he's one of the persons who, during that time, his martyrdom actually pushed the civil rights movement and the Civil Rights Act to the fore and you know, just kind of changed history in some ways that way. What I would like to do this morning is to underline something that he did that we can do. I mean, we may not be called to something as lofty as the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and we may not be called upon to give our life as he did. But when we follow Jesus, there is something that God calls us to that goes across the board with every follower of Jesus. And it's this. Just generally, if you have given your life to him, you are called to create something new. It may not be a real big something new, but it might be. It's part. What it is he's sharing what he is doing, the extension of his kingdom. And every time the kingdom is extended just a bit, what happens is something new is created, even if it's a new capacity for love or forgiveness or whatever it may be, or for feeding the hungry or anything. That's what happens. And we are called to join in with him with that. Jonathan Merrick Daniels felt that call as a young man who began to see that racial equality and the way that our country was in those days, and to some degree today also, something new could be created. And the following of his example, in even a small way, brings us to the place of listening to Jesus about moving into something new that he wishes to create. And in some ways, in some very profound ways, what it is the fulfillment of what Mary said at the end of the Song of Mary there, is it's the promise given to our ancestors that he is fulfilling. There's a promise that you and I receive that is an ancient promise, and he's fulfilling it in every generation. And even today, he's fulfilling that in a very powerful way through you and me. And that's what our call is, to do that. So what I want to do this morning is, for these few moments, is unpack what it is for you and I to follow Jesus in the creation of something new. Because that's what we're called to do. So, how do we do that? The question often that will come to you from the Spirit of God is this: what do you want to create? And that will have a different form in different situations. If you're in a certain group and you see that something could happen, then the question is, well, what exactly is it that you wish to see occur? Sometimes if you go to a group that you're in, you say, hey, I'd like to create something new. They look at you like you're crazy. But if you say, well, you know, I can see we might be able to do this or that, whatever it may be, then that's still the creation of something new. Okay, why are we having the feedback, do you know? This feedback to the degree it's bothering me. I think it is. Is that better for everyone here? Okay, good. Because, you know, when you go home today, I don't want you talking, saying to each other, hey, how about that feedback during that sermon? Whoa. All right. Right. I did. I'm calling it what it is. That's right. So, what happens when you get to that point? You're in something, you feel the Spirit of God may be prompting you, you see something new that could happen, or something even wide and wonderful that could be created that doesn't exist yet, and the first question that starts coming up is the question of security. Is God really telling me this? I mean, who's going to be with me on this? How's that going to happen? How's that going to work? Things like that. And as you step along into the process and down that path, what happens is you begin to see that the presence of God is with you. There will be people who are not, but the presence of God is with you. And you keep moving in that direction. You begin seeing more of what he's doing. You begin opening up yourself to his grace, allowing him to form who you are, as well as the goal that you're pursuing. And that's how the security question is answered. But then it can get to a point along the way, somewhere along that path. Something can happen where the security question changes. And you're no longer thinking about the promise that God has spoken to you, what he's asking you to do, the goal. But you begin moving from how do I tap into the presence of God to problem solving. See, like the next stage, you might say, a deeper question of security, it often brings us to problem solving. Now, not all problem solving is bad. Oftentimes, it can be very helpful. However, when we get to the place where we're pursuing something new, or we think someone around us is pursuing something new, we will often go to a problem-solving mode, even within ourselves. And that problem-solving, it comes up this way. Well, there's something going on here that's different. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know if I like it. Things like that. It's not the way that we've done it. I'm not comfortable with it. So the problem-solving mode steps in and comes into gear when you're saying, well, how can I keep things that are negative away? And the negative things would be, well, I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know it well enough. And you can fill in your own blank here for different things that could happen when something new is coming along. And you've probably seen that, you know, thousands and thousands of times in your own life. And what the Lord would be calling you to at that point is to lean into Him. And to lean into the place that He is taking you to. And that is not always comfortable. That is not always, we don't even always know what that is. You just know it's the Spirit of God tapping you on the shoulder and coming to the next place. It kind of reminded me, some of you may have been following this in the 80s, if you were following college basketball then, you may recall the Villanova team of the mid-80s that was coached by Raleigh Massimino. See, Pete does. So I'll just share this with Pete for a little while. And there was a year they went to the national title. They took the national title. And did you live around there then? Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, we lived right near there in Villanova. We drive past Villanova now and again. And they were really coming along and just winning and winning. And they started playing teams that they rarely, if ever, probably never played. And they were in leagues that they had never been in before. But there they were. They were going further. And Coach Massimino noticed this. After, at some point along the way, this Villanova team stopped playing to win and started playing to not lose. So he takes them into the locker room and says, perhaps amongst other things, you are playing to not lose. You'll never win if you play to not lose. Up to this point, you played to win. Now you're afraid of these other teams because you never played them before, and you're playing to not lose. In other words, in the way we've been talking, they were playing to problem solve, that negative things would go away, the things that they'd never been to before wouldn't take them out of their comfort zone. They took it that year. They listened to the coach, and they started playing to win. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. There is a place to which I am calling you. There is something that I have prepared. There is something you have never seen or known. In fact, eye has not seen, ear has not known, or not heard, nor is the mind of anyone conceived of what the Lord Jesus has in store for you. But we perceive it by the Spirit of God. Once you grab that, there's a choice. Problem solve or move into what you haven't known before. Problem solving will bring you back to what Paul talks about in Ephesians of being just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It'll also keep you in your comfort place, and except for when things start coming at you, then you're to and fro a little bit, then you problem solve again. Oftentimes, and I think this is the most often experienced instance of problem solving, which is this. There's something you like, and you always want to go back to that. And when we start moving on, you say, wait a minute, I don't know that. I've never been there before. I don't understand what that is. I haven't seen it. And so you want to go back to that because this becomes negative and you want it to go away. So you go back to that. And what is positive about that is that still has the aroma of Jesus, as we talked about a few weeks ago. But He's moved. His presence is moved over here. And there's something new coming. And He says to you, even if you're back here, He says to you, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And that's often what we are called to. Now, for us at St. Francis, the new thing that we are called to is something that we came to terms with about a year ago. I guess we came to terms with whatever we did. We spent a lot of time sharing and talking about it, and it's this. It is to invite the surrounding communities into the family of God. And for a lot of the surrounding communities, that is a new thing. And what Jesus is telling us is this. All these communities around here, these groups that you see that appear to not be connected to me at all, not at all, he says, behold, I do a new thing in them. See, what would it be like? I mean, what if every single business of every size in this community became intentionally and consciously part of the family of God? What if they self-identified as, we are a business that is in the family of God? What if every single classroom, with every student in it and every teacher in it, consciously and intentionally self-identified as being part of the family of God? In this classroom, we are in the family of God. What would that be like? What about every sports team that's around here? Every rock band? That'd be something, wouldn't it? What about every group of friends? What about every Facebook group you can think of? Goochland Moms, Residents of Eastern Goochland, all those Facebook groups. What if they self-identified consciously, intentionally, purposely, saying, we together now are a part of the family of God. And the way that we act together is as it is with the family of God. What if that were the case? That's what we embraced a year ago. That would be the way this whole area is. That every single group we can think of is invited into the family of God. And that changes the way things are, transforms them. And when Jesus says, behold, I am doing a new thing, that is begins to bring us into the depth of the new thing he desires in this community. There's one more what if. What if you and I, all of us at St. Francis, consciously, intentionally, and purposely, ask the Spirit of God to change us, form us, mold us, use us, and send us to invite the entire community effectively into the kingdom of God, into the family of God? What if we did that? Jesus has a phrase for that. Go and make disciples. That's what that is. It is to consciously, intentionally invite the Spirit of God to form you, to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. That's where we're going. That's where Jesus is taking us. That's why we're going there. And he's been stirring that within this community for some years. So the question for both you and I individually and then together is this. How is God asking you this morning to go into that new thing, to create something new, to be one who invites some group that you know into the family of God? What is he telling you about that? What's he tapping you on the shoulder about? Is there something about it that's uncomfortable? Well, then you and I are on the same page, because it's uncomfortable for me too. And what does he want to tell you about once you're uncomfortable about your problem solving? I kind of think he wants to give us a bigger problem. If we say, well, I don't know, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, okay. And then God will say, okay, how about this? Just to take us further and further into the depth of his spirit and following after him. Is God asking you to consider something where you perhaps are not the person who is leading an effort to bring some group in the community into the family of God, but you're joining in? You're joining in perhaps with Symphony, with Pete and Bobby. You're going next week, right? Yeah, so they're going next week. Has God been talking to you about that? Can you picture that? Can you picture that group of people who are some of them have to be wheeled into the worship time, who now see themselves consciously and intentionally and purposely as part of the family of God, and they join together for worship, and who knows what else they can get to do? What if that group sometime joined us here? Can you picture them coming up this ramp to come to this table? Incredible, incredible. There's all kinds of new things. Did you see the picture of the potatoes? Remember, MJ sat where she's sitting right now, looks out the window a year or so ago and says, oh boy. That's right. And then what did we have a couple of weeks ago? 165 pounds of potatoes that we felt were worthy of being taken to the food pantry, and there they were. A new thing happened, even though there was some discomfort at the first vision. Same with the park. We're meeting tonight at Richard and Hetty's because we want to see residents of the park right over here come into the kingdom and the family of God. What would it be like if all those residents intentionally and purposely and consciously said, we are now in the family of God, and that's how we want to live? Well, I think you're probably getting the idea. You see where I'm going with this. You see where Jonathan Daniels went with a new thing. And the ramifications are still multiplying. The same can happen for us. A new thing that God is calling us into, the ramifications will multiply for generations from this point on, from those who keep coming into the family of God. Now, before we leave today, at the end, there's a little bit more I want to invite you to consider, but it's no longer a sermon. So I'm going to do it at the very end for just a moment. But think about this. Pray about it. When you come to the table, tell God you want to devote yourself to it, and you're getting up out of the chair and coming to him to go wherever he's leading you. Because you love him and you want others to love him too. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all glory for where you call us and provide for us and empower us. And we ask you even today, lead us to the places you've prepared for the glory of your name. Amen.